Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch, Signals, 8 p.m. Wednesday, and time for So What's Your Story? The only program originating in Houston devoted to storytelling, right here on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 FM. Tonight, we are twisting things up a bit. That's right, I am your host, Nicole Rochelin, just taking a little break from my typical behind-the-scenes duty on engineering the boards and social media. So many thanks to intern Tatiana Gago, who's stepping in alongside with a team saturated in talent, the originator, Dr. Hank Rubicek, Greg Audell, Drs. Warren Holloman, and Mary Edgerton. We celebrate the power of storytelling by placing the spotlight on tellers who take us on journeys through windows of their souls and transport us to a magical world before returning us safely to the present. But the real magic comes from all of you who support the mission of this station and the calling of this program. To encourage the art of storytelling, to foster human connection, we anticipate that you all know we are still in our KPFT fund drive when we ask you to fuel our future by donating to the station so we can continue to bring you the best stuff on the dial. We do it all for love, and we need you to show us some love too. So please, give us a call at 713-526-5738, and one of our steadfast volunteers will take down all the essential information. We'll thank you on the air unless you say otherwise. Calling in is great because we hear that phone ringing, telling us how much you appreciate and expect the eclectic programming on KPFT to continue. Don't like the phone? Go to kpft.org, then donations, select a form of payment, and this is important. Scroll to So What's Your Story as the show you want to support, because that's how KPFT determines the listenership. Now, I'm excited about tonight's guest tellers because, once again, they represent the best reason to support So What's Your Story. March is Women's History Month, and women are always making history. Tonight, I have three courageous women who will be sharing their stories of domestic violence and sexual assault. The nature of these topics are sensitive, non-discriminatory to age or ethnicity, and it happens every day. Domestic violence is neither a new or localized problem, and its evidence can be found as far back as written history goes. Research proves that when men are viewed as the controlling force in a relationship, then women, and oftentimes children, are seen as property instead of people. Moreover, how the parties in a relationship define their gender roles may play a part in sexual assault. My guest tellers, Donna Rogers, Devonka Bratton, and Kivyet Peters, know the pains of abuse much too personally. And tonight, these courageous and influential women will share stories from their past that will remind too many of us about the current suffering felt by so many. Kivyet Peters, also known as Miss K, is a native of Washington, D.C. She has a passion for fashion and, as a curvy model mogul, a stylist, fashion designer, and founder of the Model District Group, her passion shows. In addition to astounding accolades, she is a mother, master chef, and a businesswoman committed to her vision and doesn't mind serving what we call in the fashion world, face, to her community and to that camera. Now, Huntsville native Donna the Diva Rogers has been in the beauty and fashion industry for over 21 years as a master hair designer and makeup artist. She also, I'm getting over a cold. She is also wise in her 49 years young and is a mother of a beautiful daughter and the honey to one beautiful granddaughter. In 2011, she founded Big Girls Rock 2, as a titillating outlet for voluptuous women to showcase their beauty in the high fashion and modeling industry. In fact, it was 2013 when she herself stepped in front of the camera to take the plus size fashion industry by storm.
Yes, ma'am.
And Devonka, the boss, Bratton,
yes.
has a spirit and can-do attitude that commands attention from the nation's events planning world and catering industry. She is the owner of Lily's Pot Catering and Events, as well as intimately Angel Event Productions. In her free time, Devonka loves to write. She is an author and currently working on a 3-book series. She is also an activist against domestic violence and sexual assault, and is a guest speaker at speaking engagements to raise awareness for these issues. She has hosted several radio talk shows, including the Coffee House Forum, and she has been a part of several film and television production teams. Welcome to So What's Your Stories, ladies.
Thank you for having us. Thank you for accepting
the invitation.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Well, Ms. Kiviat, I know your mission is to empower women in all shapes and sizes. Yes. How do you intend to go about your mission?
I intend to go about my mission by continuing to promote positive body image, which is so important for our community in all shapes and sizes, and letting everyone know that they can make their mark and continue to push forward in our community.
Awesome.
Well, that is amazing, and we definitely appreciate you doing so. Now, Ms. Donna, you created Big Girls Rock 2 in 2011. What was your motivation?
My motivation was me. I'm a big girl, and I rock. And just we didn't have a platform. It was like we was pushed to the back of the room,
yeah,
and it's like we had to sit over in the corner, and we was getting no love. So why not make the platform to where we can get some love?
Well, well said, and thank you. I know about that platform.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, to Ms. Devonka, you have hosted several radio talk shows and have been a part of TV and movie production teams.
Mm-hmm.
How does it feel to be in the seat again?
Wow, it is. For this show, it is very. It's a little nerve-wracking, but I have to have the courage to be here. And it's very important that we are all here. So it feels good. I'm getting my little juice back, and I'm thankful for the opportunity.
Well, each of you have so much in common, and the most obvious being the strength of a woman, because through it all, you are still standing. Your stories are original, powerful, painful, and full of substance and life lessons. Kiviat, let's start with you.
Yes.
Your story is about drug addiction and molestation.
Yes, it is. It's a very painful and powerful story, but I'll just give you some little tidbits here.
Okay, well, tell us your story.
I was mentally and physically abused in my young teenage age and sexually abused. I remember specifically one specific story when I was in my bed in my house, and how I would lay in my bed at night and I would have to put a chair underneath the door to keep someone from coming in my room because they wanted to put their hands in my private areas. That all too well is a lot of pain, but when to move on from that, that kind of led me, all the sexual abuse that I went through and the struggle that I went through, because I had a mom who was a socialite and she was a powerful black woman, and a father who was basically that was in the streets or that was a hustler. And so, we had a good life, but what I'm trying to say is that all of that together and combined, sometimes, you know, it makes you, I was a rogue. Let's just say that I had a rogue mentality as a young girl, and I had no discipline at all. And so I had to teach me as a young adult to be disciplined. And then, so that led me into being a drug dealer. And then so someone gave me what's called a working 50, and I decided to just go ahead and just see what was out there. Worked the corners, worked the streets, did what I needed to do in order to make it work. Not even that we even needed the money, because my father was one of the first black millionaires in Washington, D.C. But I just liked the excitement. That's a part of my personality. But all of that conditioned together got me hooked up into some rooms that I helped the enemy, the devil, put me in a certain place. You know, I helped him and he helped me. But I remember specifically one thing is that when I was in the crack house and I went in there specifically to do one thing, the Holy Spirit came down and spoke with me specifically and said my name. There's no way that the guy could have known my name. Who said, Kvyat, you do not belong here. Those words right there changed my life, and that makes me into the woman that I am today. I got hooked on my own supply, but God turned it all around through the prayers of the righteous. Yes. And through people that loved me, I'm here today as an owner and investor of three companies, now as a woman of God,
yes,
a woman of valor,
yes,
and that I can help push people to their destiny, help deliver people to their destiny. So I'm just excited. All the things that God has given me, sometimes pain is the pressure cooker.
Come on.
To make you move.
Absolutely.
I'm a firm believer. You need the pain in order to move, because if it was all good, what is it for? You know? And so we need to be able to deposit it to someone else and keep it moving. So, like I said, those companies and the God has put me in a place of recompense right now, and I'm just moving forward, and just the more that I keep moving forward, the more that I see that God is keep adding to me and to people around me, because I want to be able to leave a legacy for myself and for people that I don't know.
Amen.
Mm.
Amen.
Well, I really like how you, and I know people are apprehensive about saying their truth.
Right.
So I definitely commend you for taking the step to do so.
Yes. Very painful.
It is painful, and I only can imagine not what you've been through, and many other women like yourself have been through. But thank you for giving us just the bits. You gave us the meat.
Yes.
So you gave us the meat. So my question to you, Kvyat, was what would be the one lesson that you would want our listeners to take away from your story?
Well, that lesson is actually a couple of fold. But first of all, tell your truth. Say it loud. Listen to the inner voice on the inside.
Yes.
Because that's God talking to you. Mm-hmm. And don't ignore it.
Right.
Mm.
Don't ignore God. You need God at every turn.
Yes.
And a lot of people say they don't believe in God. But I'm telling you, you're going to need him at every turn.
Well, I know you're enjoying tonight's program. To our listeners, and we are eager for you to hear more, and I am eager to hear more as well. So with a little help from our friends, we're going to tell you what we do need to do right now. Right, Doc?
That is right, Nicole. You're doing a magnificent job, by
Thank
the way.
You.
You're taking away my job. And you know how much money we earn, and I'm a little concerned about that. But we need to have everyone call 713-526-5738, JAM KPFT, and tell us that you love storytelling and that you want it to continue every week on KPFT. You know, storytelling is all about connection, and tonight is a great example of these magnificent, brave women and how they influence people who listen to our program. And I know you're going to be dealing with this a little bit more with Mary a little bit later, Nicole, but you know, I know one of your guests says that she rocks, but all three of you do. How's that?
Oh,
okay.
Thank you.
I just have to make that
we'll make that very clear.
And you know, and I want everyone to know, particularly our wonderful guests this evening, that we have always been committed to powerful, strong women and protecting them against the kind of abuse, the kind of terroristic assaults that they experience. You know, J.J. Simmons, as I'm sure many of you know, J.J.'s Girls, her organization, her nonprofit, she's been on the show many times. As a matter of fact, she'll be on with some of her girls her young'uns on April 4th. A couple of years ago, we had a mother who talked about the murder of her daughter for the first time on this program. Your director friend, Nicole, Courtney Glaude.
Courtney with Blink.
Was, you know, I right, know. With Blink, my gosh. And, you know, Nicole Kazarev, she was the one who exonerated Anthony Graves. There was an article about her in the Chronicle today, and, you know, we beat them to it. I mean, we do some pretty marvelous things on this program, and I just want to thank people like our guests this evening for making it come to life. And, you know, that's just a little bit about us. But if you don't know us, those of you listening, so What's Your Story started in 2007 as an open journal once a month until you said, you know what, Hank, we want this every week. I was a guest on this kind of a program, actually. And a week later, Ernesto, who was the program manager, called me and said, hi, Hank, listen, you did a pretty good job last week. And I was wondering if you'd like, and I paused and I said, who are you? Who is this? I had no idea who this person was who even spoke to me. And I was sort of lassoed into doing that one program. And it just came alive in my mind and heart. And that's how So What's Your Story was born. We went from once a month to Monday mornings at 6. I had to bring donuts for everybody, but, you know, it still worked. And then we went to Thursday at 10 until I became so old I couldn't stay up anymore. So now we are on at Wednesday. Prime time, middle of prime time for 60 minutes, sandwiched between two really great programs, both representing the extensive programming at KPFT, People of Earth with Jacqueline Batiste, featuring the essence of diversity among indigenous cultures. And then it's Wild Bill and the Vinyl Avenger dropping the needle on tunes you'll only hear on KPFT. But you know what? Every show is great. Pacifica Radio, fuel for peace, but it is listener-sponsored, and we need you, please, to give us a call at 713-526-5738 or go online to kpft.org, then to donations. Tell us how you're going to pay because Nicole's credit card is tapped. And then scroll, please scroll to So What's Your Story as the show that you designate to receive that generous donation. Thank you, Nicole. And I'm enjoying this show immensely.
Thank you, Dr. Hank. Donna, yes. We're going to jump right back in. Your story is one that has happened before, not just to you, but to others that have kept silent. You too kept silent until this February of 2018. What finally gave you permission to tell your story?
What finally gave me permission to tell my story was that I needed to be free.
Yes.
That I kept this secret ever since I was in high school because I was afraid to tell somebody because I thought I was going to be judged. Oh, she hot, she this, she that. And then I was scared and I was going to get a whipping because I was somewhere I wasn't supposed to be. But that still don't give you the right to take something from me. Mm-hmm. If I say no, no means no.
Yes.
But instead, you forced yourself upon me.
Well, Donna, we're ready to hear that story.
You're ready to hear that story. Well, I was at a party with a friend, and she asked me to walk to a friend's house with her, a guy she was dating at the time. And we got there.
It's okay.
She went into the room with him, and I stayed in the living room, and his friend was there, and he liked me, but I didn't really like him at the time. You know, I was a freshman in high school. You ain't really off into all that. We was playing sports, and he kept trying to get me to go into the room with him, and I wouldn't, so the other guy, his cousin came over. He played football. And when he walked in, they went into the kitchen. I was still sitting on the couch because I was trying to tell her I'm ready to go. And she kept saying, I'm coming. But she never came out until after the fact that he pulled me into the room and he put me on the bed. He threw me on the bed and took my pants down. Took my pants down and he had sex with me. And it's like he just took my virginity. You know what I'm saying? He took that from me. I didn't get to share that with my husband. Or, you know what I mean? But
From that day, I kept the secret because I thought I did something wrong, when really I didn't. I didn't do anything wrong. I said no, but instead he forced himself upon me. And I kept that secret because I didn't know how to explain it to my mother, to my brothers. Right. And then finally, I told my mom in February. And we talked about it. She asked me who, but I didn't really give her a name. One of my brothers called me. I gave him a name. Mm-hmm. But I want to confront him so bad, because every time he see me, he speak to me like we friends. We not friends. Let me get these off. We not friends. I'm not his enemy. I have forgiven him, but I still need to confront him about what he has done, because he has not acknowledged it. You took something from me and you did not have the right to. It was wrong on all parts. And I just want to share this with the younger girls. When your parents allow you to do things, go where you're supposed to go. Because you could be at the wrong place at the wrong time. Right. And I was. I should have stayed where I was. And people that say they're your friend, they're not your friend. Because that shouldn't even took place. I should have called the cops, but I didn't. Because I was afraid. And I was afraid of what they was going to think about me, or what was going to be said, this, that, and the other. But now that I'm older, it's okay. What's done is done. I can't change it, but I learn from it. And at the end of the day, when somebody tells you no, no means no.
You make such a valid point, and I have to give myself a second here to get it together. The emotions in the studio is so real. And I just thank you for being so vulnerable and saying those words, because it's hard to say. Mm-hmm. And to be harboring these emotions and these feelings all the way until February of this year when you spoke out.
I was a teenager. It took me 33 years to tell my mama.
So would it be safe to say that it's never too late?
It's never too late. It's never too late. If it happened, tell it.
It's never too late to tell your truth.
That's right. Don't be afraid. Tell
it, and don't like she said, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed.
Don't be ashamed. Absolutely. Don't be ashamed.
And so do you feel strengthened by speaking out?
I do, because I could have went down so many other roads. Mm-hmm. But instead, I took the high road. I didn't take the low road. Not that the low road is bad, because that's a stepping stone. That's a learning experience. But what I did learn from that is that I don't have to let that stop me from being successful and being the person that I am today.
And you are beautiful.
Well, thank you.
I just want to remind our listeners that we are live right now on Facebook. And we'd love it if you give us a shout out and let us know that you're listening. Give us, you know, any comments. If you have any questions, we want to know. We want to hear about it. And, you know, KPFT is listener sponsored. So I want to say a special thank you to Megan and our host, Mary. Her cousins, who also named Mary and Laura, have definitely contributed to our cause. And that cause is to keep us here. So if you want to make sure that you give us a little donation and help keep So What's Your Story, that is sponsored, listener sponsored and corporate free right here on KPFT. Give us a call at 713-526-5738 and help us keep freedom of expression alive. Mm-hmm. Now here at So What's Your Story, we believe storytelling is a great way to discover tools of expression. And that's a good thing, because Houston is a vibrant storytelling community. Tatiana, can you tell everyone other ways to take advantage of Houston's storytelling community?
Well, first, Nicole, let me just say you're doing a great job.
Thank
Congratulations.
You.
And let me say also, we want to thank Nancy and Hoda for their wonderful donations. They have, and Camilla.
And Abbas.
And Margaret.
And Anthony. It just popped up on the screen.
Thank you all.
Unbelievable.
Well, let's see. Besides calling in right now at 713-526-5738 to keep our program coming your way every week, listeners will want to join our sponsor, the Houston Storytellers Guild. They meet the fourth Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Temple Emanuel, located at 1500 Sunset. Be sure to visit the Guild's website at www.houstonstorytellers.org for upcoming events and for all of our past So What's Your Story programs. Every show since 2008, listed on the menu under radio program. And we also want our listeners to know that not having a radio is no excuse for missing our program, because you can listen to us stream live on kpft.org and Facebook Live. Tell us what you think about our shows and suggest program ideas by visiting our So What's Your Story Facebook page, and we promise to get back to you. And please be sure to share our page with friends, and we love it if you like us on the way out.
I also don't want to forget about our friends at The Moth, and they meet the second Tuesday of every month at Warehouse Live. Tatiana, before we get back on the ball, how did you enjoy your spring break?
I relaxed so much. It was the best week ever. I got to go to a rodeo and got to just sleep for a good 3 days.
It sounds like you're bragging instead of telling us about your spring break, but, you know, you deserve it. You work hard, and I know you work hard. Well,
I graded all of your papers over spring break.
Well, I'm not his student anymore.
That's what I did, though. I just graded papers. But don't worry about me. I took a break on Wednesday around 1 in the afternoon and drank some lemonade or something.
I hope you enjoyed your lemonade. And I hope it was from Chick-fil-A. They have some of the best lemonade around.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion. I'm just saying. But thank you guys so much. Thank you guys so much. You know, KPFT has always been committed to our community. And I know this station, this program is important to all of us here at So What's Your Story? In a few words, tell us how this program has changed your life, Tatiana.
You know, I've got so much insight from being on the other side now. And, of course, my friends think I'm famous, so that's a plus.
Well, I think you're famous, too. Now, Dr. Hank, you are the storytelling pro, the guru, the mastermind behind So What's Your Story. What motivates you to tell your stories?
Well, you're being awfully kind, Nicole. I wouldn't necessarily call myself a pro. I mean, conceiving of the show is one thing, but I'm not really a pro. One of the really beautiful things about storytelling is that everybody can be a pro in a way. You know, the trick is to know how to organize your thoughts and organize the story and to give yourself permission to tell the story. And I think that's what your guests tonight are doing. If I could speak for them, I think, isn't that right, ladies? You're kind
yes,
of
absolutely.
Giving yourself
absolutely.
Permission.
Yes.
And that's the power of connection. And that's truly what we do every week, Nicole. And again, you know, just to echo what Tatiana was saying, you are doing a magnificent job. But,
Thank
you know, storytelling you. Is one of those resurging art forms that everybody can take advantage of. And that's why we love it so much. But, you know, being a storytelling pro, it just means you have to do a lot of it and really love it and learn some of the nuances and idiosyncrasies that make it work. But this is a time when people really love stories. And that's why the eclectic inventory on this station, this program, So What's Your Story, really being an icon for community radio is what's so very important. And I don't hear a lot of phones ringing, but, you know, phones have rung tonight. We just want to hear more of them. I'll bet many people are simply donating online at KPFT.
Yes, they are. Online, we are getting online donations.
Online, yes. In line. I don't care if they're out of line. They can do it all. And all they have to do is click on donations before scrolling to our program, So What's Your Story? As the program you choose is your favorite. And we do need your support. So do it any way you can, online, in line, give us a call. Stop on over at 419 Lovett. Tatiana will even tell you a story, for God's sakes. I don't know. But do it, because the most important thing is that you know that the other guy won't. So again, 713-526-5738, JAM KPFT. Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you, Dr. Hank. Well, I am Nicole Rochelin, and you are listening to So What's Your Story, only on KPFT 90.1 Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 91.9 in Huntsville. Now, before we get to Devonka's story. Our very own Dr. Mary Edgerton was elated to hear that we are discussing this topic. As I've said previously, domestic violence doesn't discriminate, and it can be happening to those that are close to you. Mary, who was one of our international listeners tonight, was so kind to send me her story, and with her permission, I am going to share it with you. I was a victim of domestic violence during my first marriage. Kicked verbally, abused, choked, and finally I said enough. So what took me so long of it is self-questioning. Did I deserve this? Really, no one deserves it. But what does not come to mind when it is happening is you think, did I do something wrong? It's more like, how did I get here? I had all my ducks in a row, so I must be doing something wrong, and I must be the one who made it get all screwed up. Then there's this guy who is so different in the morning, crying, remorseful, wondering how he could have done that. If you leave at that point, then you are the evil person. Yep. So one morning when he said, "What's for dinner?" I said I would thaw a steak. And once he left for work, I packed up my stuff and moved into an apartment. It took me a month to get that apartment, so my side was pre-planned. But I knew I had to get out of there. I knew exactly what I would be doing when I said I would thaw a steak. I also knew that I better be cleaned out and gone before he got home, or I would be subject to physical and verbal abuse again. Okay, one other thing. Since I had to wait a month for an apartment to become available, I had been going around the house putting together the things I wanted to take with me. He never even noticed. Was it ego? Was it that he did not realize that while he sat on the sofa watching TV, I was quietly packing my stuff? Weird. It was pretty tight that last day trying to get everything out. A girlfriend was helping me. I remember after the last big trip, my saying I was going back to check over and look for anything else that was mine. I knew that whatever personal stuff I left would be destroyed. And indeed, he did destroy some of my stuff. I remember her looking at me and saying, "Be careful." It was getting to be past 4, and he was home around the 6 range. But I was sure I could get in and out. I did. I left him a note. When a guy kicks you, strangles you, berates you as the person who has ruined their lives, and then you leave, shouldn't they celebrate? Oh no, they just get really mad at you. There was also a boyfriend in college, similar scenario. I just did not get why leaving after I was supposedly such a horrible person was something that they were relieved about. That one stalked me, ran me off the road. Anyway, I'm glad that you're doing this, Nicole. I have tried to raise my daughters to take no mess from anyone. Sometimes it was hard to let them express themselves when they were mad at me. But in the end, I feel that they are better adapted to standing up for themselves than I was. Although, honestly, I don't know what the real answers are. But just let me say, I am so glad you are bringing on some guests for 2 reasons. What a great topic, and it made me feel unafraid to tell my story.
Amen. Wow.
So thank you, Mary, for sharing that with us. And for mustering up the courage to finally let your story be heard. I am so proud to be amongst women who are refusing to be silenced by society. Ladies, how does it make you feel to know you've motivated someone to speak out with their own difficult story? Kiviet, we'll start with you.
It makes me feel elated because it's been so long that a lot of young women or older women Don't say anything. Mm-hmm. Just like Donna said before, she did. It took her 33 years to say something. It took me a long time to say something as well. So when you can motivate someone to say something about their truth, to speak clarity to other people, and you know, when you speak, it heals somebody. Mm-hmm. You never know what you can say to somebody to heal somebody.
That's
so true. Your words are powerful, and it is seed for ground for things to grow.
Right. Ooh. Love Absolutely. It. Devonka, yes. Same question. How does it make you feel?
It makes me empowered. It makes me feel like I'm doing my part. It makes me feel like that, like I'm empowering others and giving them the strength and the courage to stand up and take their life back. I gave so much of my life to being a victim before I became a survivor. Mm. So it makes me feel good. And one thing I want to tell anyone or anyone that's going through any kind of domestic violence, the National Domestic Violence Hotline is 1-800-799-7233. Call them. Call them. If you're suffering from sexual assault, call them. If you need help, call Facebook me. I will help you. We will make a plan. We will make it happen. But don't live and suffer in silence.
That's right. Thank you. Donna, what about you? How does it make you feel that you are empowering other women to speak out?
It makes my heart smile.
Aww.
It makes my heart smile that I was able to say something to somebody to encourage them. Don't be silent for 33 years. Don't be silent for 33 seconds. Tell it.
Tell it.
Tell it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Devonka.
Yes.
We are taking it to you, honey.
Ooh.
Your story is one of trial. Excuse me. Excuse me, guys. I'm getting over a cold. I'm so
okay.
Sorry. We're going to take it to you, and your story is one of trial and triumph. It's a tragic tale of innocence about being slain and left for dead. I know there are many lessons in your story. Tell us one message you never want us to forget.
You are worthy. You are absolutely worthy. I don't want anyone, a woman, man, child, no one. You have to remember that you are worthy. God created you for a reason. You are no one's trash. You are no one's throwaway. You are no one's punching bag. You are no one's mess. You're worthy. And that is the one thing that if I could impart on anyone and let them know that they are worthy and they deserve to live a life and not just exist, that's what it would be.
We're ready to hear your story.
Oh, wow. I'm ready to tell my story.
All right.
I had the most awesome childhood. I was raised in the country. I'm a country girl. I had animals. I played in the dirt. Just an awesome, awesome childhood. My mother was an awesome woman. She was disabled. She had really bad seizures, but she was gorgeous. Tall, 5'10", light skin, paper sack brown, gorgeous. She was a model before, you know. So she let one of her cousins live with us when he got out of jail. He was my grandfather's nephew. And I didn't know what it was then, but he was my favorite. He built old cars, and I loved old classic cars back then, and he would buy me things and all this stuff. I didn't know he was grooming me. So at one point, he moved out of our house, and he moved in with his current wife and her daughter, was around my age. Well, in the African-American community, there's this thing about get out of grown folks' business. Mm-hmm. Your child, go play with children. So my mom would send me over there to go play. And there was nothing wrong with it because we're around the same age. Well, the first time he raped me, he took me into his shop because he knew that I loved the classic cars. And he had a old pickup truck. And he let the bed of the pickup truck down and he pushed me on the bed of the truck. And when he pushed me, it ripped my dress. and he raped me. And that was the first time. And when he was done, he ejaculated on my dress. And I was so afraid when I got home. I was more afraid of my sister finding out that I had ripped the dress, because it was actually hers and it was a blue jean dress. So I was scared that my sister was going to be mad at me because I ripped the dress. So I took the dress, folded it up. And back then, I'm not trying to tell my age, but back then we had paper bags. We didn't have plastic bags. Put it in a Fowler's paper bag and shoved it up under my dresser. I was raped from the age of 12 to right before I turned 15, multiple times. And what stopped it for me, I couldn't take anymore, was not him. It was, I went to church because I turned to God. I've been close to God all my life. And I went to church one day, and the associate pastor at the church, he made a pass at me. I was about to turn 15. And this 50-something-year-old man made a strong, like a let's go in the back of the church kind of pass at me, and I lost it. I moved away. I moved to Arizona to where my dad was, and I didn't tell anyone. And I didn't tell because my mother would have killed him. My mother absolutely would have killed him, and I did not want to lose my mother. She was all I had. Of course, I had my dad, you know, but raised up out there, that was my mom. My mom went to her grave not knowing what happened. And I went through so much therapy, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Physically, he ruptured my cervix. My iliac vein is ruptured, and I have to, every 4 or 5 years, I have surgery to have the vein cauterized. I have physical damage. I've had trouble holding pregnancies. It's a laundry list. So it was a bunch of physical and a bunch of mental, and it took a bunch of money. I looked at men. I had a horrible outlook on men. Men could do two things for me. They could take out my trash and wash my car. That's all a man was good for. Because that pain turned my heart hard toward men. And I, even though I went through all that therapy, I didn't get better until I gave it to Jesus. And people don't believe, and I have friends all walks of life, but I am telling you right here, right today, the reason that I'm sitting in this chair is because I said, Lord, you got to take this. I can't do it. I have to give this to you, because if I don't give this to you, I'm going to kill myself. I'm not going to be here. There's no reason for me to be here. Don't nobody want me. Nobody wants me. Yes, my mom made sure I was articulate and I'm well-spoken. I can talk to anyone, but I'm trash. I'm broken. I can't give a man a baby. Mm. You know, what is this? Who wants this? And when the Holy Spirit imparted in me that I am worthy, girlfriend, I became whole. I was able to forgive. I was able to forgive myself for making myself go through that. It wasn't my fault at all, but I put myself through hell because I held on to that. I held on to that, and I focused on making money. I focused on drinking out, partying, everything that I shouldn't have. And I threw a whole bunch of my life away because I didn't know how to forgive and how to deal with that situation. So when I gave it to God, I was forgiven. And the craziest thing happened. I ended up working in a domestic violence shelter at Focus and Families in Hempstead. I've worked at a couple, but I ended up working at Focus and Families in Hempstead. And my abuser called me. He called me. And I thought I was done. I thought I had forgiven and I was good. He called my job. He got the number from my grandfather, because my grandfather didn't know. And I told him not to call me, but this was after my mom was dead in her grave. And I finally told my sister, and my sister told him, don't call her anymore. But that wasn't the end. I've had to see him. I've had to face him. I almost killed him. And that's how I know that I had not completely forgiven. Mm-hmm. And, I'll never forget the day. We don't have time for that story, but my, My sister saved his life. I blacked out and I grabbed my gun and I had lowered it. And she, Sherry, I'm sure she's listening, she hit me and shoved me in my godmother's car. Just so happened my godmother had pulled up and we were going to my brother's football game at Mary Harden Baylor. She didn't tell her what was wrong. She just shoved me in the car and said, drive. And I cried and cried and cried all the way past Brenham. And we got pulled over by the cops because my godmother was speeding. And I was finally able to tell her what had happened. But all those years from 12 right to until right before I turned 15, I had people, oh, she thinks she's grown. Oh, she's fast. Oh, she's this. Oh, she's that. And I told so many people, but they were not listening. Even at the school, they were not listening. I didn't tell my mom because my that wasn't happening. But where I am now, I'm at a place now that I give God all the glory and I'm good.
Yes.
And I am encouraging everyone. Just know that you are worthy and learn from our stories. You don't have to go through what we went through. You don't have to hold this all this time like we did. Learn from us and tell your story. If you don't want to tell a big person, just tell someone that you know you can trust.
Mm-hmm.
Or call a stranger. Call me. My number's on Facebook. Tell me and I'll do my best to help you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So I'm assuming that's what you want your listeners to take away. Tell somebody.
Tell somebody.
Tell somebody and you are worthy. You are worthy. You don't have to live your life broken.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Devonka, for...
I'm full.
Yes.
My goodness gracious.
And I'm pretty sure some of you guys, I hope all of you guys know what it means when we say we are full. I am definitely full. But I want to go to Tatiana. Do we have any thank yous?
Yes, we do. We actually have Pulse. Thank you for your incredible donation that you've given us. It's wonderful to know that you listen to our nice little show here on KPFT. And we're very thankful for you.
Thank you, Tatiana. Now, excuse me, guys. Me and this cough here is going to drive me nuts. Dr. Hank, can you tell us who's up for next week?
You know, I can't. I don't know. Greg is, I know. And he hasn't let anybody know. But I have to tell you something. I want you to focus on the name Paul, because that's not a woman's name. You are making a tremendous impact, ladies, on men as well.
Wow.
And that is no small thing, right? This
wow.
is not gender specific.
I even made a note,
as you can see on the script, which I can explain to Nicole. I told Nicole that what we want to make sure that we do with this really great show is that we don't want to make it sound like we're bashing men.
Right.
Because that's
right.
not what we're doing.
Not at all.
But it's really interesting that, you know, Paul would call, because I am a person who feels a lot of things that you're feeling for a lot of reasons. I was emotionally abused in my marriage. My wife experienced a lot of emotional abuse, which isn't the same as physical abuse, but the scars, I'll tell you, can also be extraordinarily deep. And we don't want our listeners to forget that abuse is certainly not gender specific, and that's what I was saying in these notes to Nicole, saying that we want to make sure that in this poignant episode of So What's Your Story, that men realize that we are not saying that you're bad people. What we are saying is that many women are exposed to really bad men.
And there are some men
who are exposed to bad women.
Absolutely.
But what we're saying is that, unfortunately, the kind of reticence that women have felt all these years about not speaking up, about not being able to share and disclose, because they do play the blame game. There is the blame game that Nicole so eloquently put in her script. And the fact is that we have to make sure that we are protected, that women are protected, because their inability for so many years to not communicate what's going on in their hearts and their minds is as devastating as the terrible things that happened to them to begin with. And that's what we want our listeners to know. It's just a wonderful show. Nicole, you're doing a great job, and I'm full as well. I know the word.
Thank you.
Well. It's great. No, it's great stuff. It really is.
Both of these.
Very touching. It really does. It's touching us both. Tatiana and I are talking in here about this being a great show.
Well, it is great, and a lot of people don't know. I'm also a part of Big Girls Rock too. I've met these wonderful ladies, work with these wonderful ladies, but it hits home for me because I didn't tell my mom about my story until I was in my 30s as well, which I'm still in my 30s, by the way. But I didn't tell. And I felt that I was in the wrong. And similar to you, all the pain and the anguish of carrying that, harboring it, it makes you angry. And I just couldn't figure out why. But then I finally spoke up. Mm-hmm. So that's right. Speak up, ladies.
That's right.
Thank you so much. And I just want to say, on a lighter note, I want to give a shout out to a wonderful, beautiful lady, friend of mine, and also the wife to Dr. Hank Rubicek here. Miss Peggy, I want to tell you happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Yes, we got some help.
It's on Saturday. Yes.
It's on Saturday, but yeah, we're going to sing that to you today.
We did
a little snippet. So,
and thank you, Nicole, for saying that because she thinks of you as her friend, too.
Oh, that's a sweet thing. Thank you. She is the sweetest, and she is a wonderful storyteller, ladies.
Go back
in our archives. Look it up for Peggy Russell. She has an amazing story.
Oh, yeah. And the story she tells me. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
It's about her being a single mom, and I think this is why I love her so much, because it's like our job is never done. But anyway,
I'm glad you mentioned that, because you're right. But listeners should listen to that.
Yes, they really should listen.
Well,
go back.
It complements tonight's program pretty beautifully.
It does. We're celebrating women. It's still Women's History Month. It is still celebrating. We are still celebrating.
That's right.
And just because it's the month of March don't mean you can't celebrate us afterwards. So we do accept gifts, jewelry, money.
Oh, take it all. We'll take it all.
Okay, 365.
But I want to say
we have another thank you, another message. Hold on. Tatiana's reading it.
Thank you for sharing your story. Continue encouraging women and young ladies and violence.
No one said that this person is great at penmanship. Okay. Thank you for sharing your story. Continue encouraging women and young ladies that violence is terrible, and that violence concerning violence is something that has to stop. Counseling concerning violence. Thank you, Bridget. This is a wonderful thought. This is the kind of stuff we're talking about. I hate to belabor the point, but this is the sort of thing that you ladies are doing. It's not about donations. It's about thoughts and ideas. It's about touching the human heart through your personal narratives. It does not get any better than that. You know, human expression isn't just important, it's everything.
That's right.
Well, you said that for me, so I'm not going to say it, because I was going to say something similar. So thank you, Dr. Hank. You always know when to jump in, and I appreciate you greatly. So ladies, let's take it on a lighter note. Let's go out on a lighter note. What made you join Big Girls Rock 2 in 2013?
Donna's heart. Her heart.
Thank you, friend.
She has a heart for people, and she had a vision, and she trusted me enough to tell me her vision, and she trusted me enough to produce it for her. So just knowing her, we fight like cats and dogs. Oh, my gosh. She hurts my big toe. But
hurt your big toe.
I love her, and her heart is golden.
I love it.
Awesome. Miss Kiviet, can you quickly tell us a little bit more about the Model District Group?
So the Model District Group is my baby. And it is our, we primarily induct full figure models, but now we're accepting standard models and male models. And we are the new model community, because so many modeling agencies or companies, you know, they kind of, you know, keep everybody out. We want to bring everybody in. I also teach model coach, poise, and all types of things. And then we always we partner with other groups or other companies for production to make it great. And as we work together and pull together, you look great, we look great.
Well said.
And that is at the Model District Group on Instagram and at Model Miss K. Thank you.
Okay. I just have a, we have another compliment to Nicole. The three women who told the stories are awesome.
Oh, wow.
And aww, thank you. So they heard, they're listening. We thank you and we appreciate you for listening so much. Miss Donna, why did you choose to incorporate domestic violence and sexual assault with this year's show?
I chose to incorporate this because my niece was killed. And she was molested at the age of 11. She had a baby at the age of 12, and she was molested by her uncle.
Wow.
Nobody spoke up for her. Nobody said nothing. And they made her think that, because that's my brother's daughter, but they made her think that we didn't have no love for her. But she's my reason. I'm her voice. She has no voice. I have to speak for her as well as all the other million of women out here that's silent about and things.
Okay. Well, hey, guys, it is time to wrap it on up. But to find out more about Big Girls Rock 2, we will be posting all of the information about the show and where to purchase the tickets. And it's going down on May 6th.
May 6th.
Y'all
get your tickets.
Absolutely. And I just want to say to those survivors out there, that's how we're going to go out tonight. Well, I think we're going out tonight. But those who know the Destiny's Child Survivor song, then that's, hey, that's what we're rocking to in our cars on the way home. Dr. Hank,
here
we go.
Dr. Hank is going to sing it for us. We hope not. But stay tuned, guys, because Wild Bill and the Vinyl Avenger are up next with cool classics for the cooler you. Make 90.1 a part of your everyday. And while you're driving home, tune in for the night or just chilling. Join us every Wednesday at 8 p.m. for So What's Your Story?
What's Your Story?
And treasure what you hear. Keep loving great stories, and we'll keep bringing them to you. This is Nicole Rocherlin, and alongside with the rest of the So What's Your Story team, we want you to never forget that it's never too late to live happily ever after.
Amen.
Peace.